Welcome, Mitch. Thank you for being here today. Why don't you tell our viewers just a little bit about your background, some who may not know all of your history?
Well, I've been the editor of the Bradenton Times since 2010 and the weekly Sunday opinion column. So I've been covering Manatee County government on all forms for a long time now. And in addition, I've done a lot of reporting on national and state issues as well. Prior to that, I was a military officer and a professional boxer. But I've been in journalism for a very long time, and I have the privilege, I guess, of working in a community that keeps me busy with stories. But then it's also the negative aspect is that a lot of them are about how people are ruining our community.
Well, we're so excited to have you here. And here are my colleagues here today with us. And we want to start off with letting them kind of introduce themselves again to the public.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Mitch. Thanks for being here. We're absolutely thrilled to have you. I'm Misty Servia, former county commissioner, lifetime resident in the area, and 35 years in the urban planning field. And I want to start off with a question that talks about your recent article, where you touched on the opposition to the land purchase that was made back in 2020, including the claims of the high purchase price. Now, some of us know very well firsthand how that claim was used in the 2020 election cycle. Could you provide some more details on the arguments made by those opposing the original deal? And tell us, do you think they were valid?
There was a very obvious and concentrated effort to take this, relatively otherwise like almost unnoteworthy issue and try to spin it into a political hammer that they can go after opponents with. And it was basically this idea that there was some sort of, there was at least it was implied that there was really a level of corruption to this grossly overpriced acquisition of land that the county was going to use for much needed future services in East County, where development has been rampant for decades now. And it was spun into a way that I think really plays to the most cynical suspicions people sometimes have about government and government waste. And it nonsensically, in my opinion, alleged that they were paying many times what this property was worth, and in that I think there was the implication that there was probably corruption, there was probably a bag of money. I mean, I even had people ask me that, do you think somebody's getting a bribe or a bag of cash or some wired money to the Bahamas or something? So it was really spun into something cynical. No, I don't think there was any validity to it. In fact, I if anything, I would say one of the biases that I always have to sort of check is that I've been doing this so long, and I've been doing it in Florida, that I'm very open to stories about government corruption because I see it so often. So when this was sort of raised as an issue, I very quickly said, "Ooh, let me see what's going on over here." And I just couldn't find any there. And it looked to me like a very, normal, sensible thing to do, particularly because the land was going to be you, it was adjacent to the county's landfill. And, typically it's always a good idea for a local government to acquire land adjacent to those kind of facilities because one, it may need them in the future, and two, it could also prevent the kind of conflict that you could have with other uses for a property adjacent to something that could be problematic. So there just seemed to be a lot of good reasons to do this. And the idea that we're overpaying was coming all from one area, which was the development community. And it made me suspicious that there might have been other people that wanted to use this property for something else. And that's really what I think we're seeing even now.
Yeah, I just want to hop in here and say, and that's why you're such a good journalist, because you're right. All of a sudden, we see this red flag from certain people in the development community, which is a red flag to those of us that know what's going on, right? And what you said about simplistically breaking down a sound bite that people can latch onto and that they like to say, because nobody trusts the government. all of that stuff is the magic that they work over and over again. But, and Reggie will probably talk about this next, but when Reggie and I were serving and Sherry brought this idea to us and the board, we had all kinds of questions like, oh, wait a minute, tell us this, tell us that, how come that, how come this, how much money, you know, that was vetted hard and fast behind closed doors. And Sherry and her team had answers for everything because they had done their research. Reggie?
Yeah, I think it's probably important to note that this was an 18-month public process with multiple votes, multiple public meetings. Nobody showed up and said, hold the horses, what are you guys doing? It went through the normal channels right out in the open. And in fact, to Sherry's credit, when I started covering it, she invited me down to the county administration building. She put all of the team that had worked on this in one room and said, ask them anything you want. They are at your disposal to help inform the public about what we're doing here and why. And I grilled them, and it was, I left even more confident than I arrived that, wow, this is a good idea for the community. So the transparency was there from the start. And this idea that this was sort of, you know, this smoke-filled room where people were cutting deals in the back, it doesn't comport with reality.
Well, the reality, hey, Mitch, how you doing?
Good to see you, Reggie.
Former, and thanks for your service too. And I didn't know you had hands as far as being a boxer.
So I was the heavyweight champion of the Army for about 3 years.
Wow! Learn something new every day. But the term you use as far as a political hammer, right? Just thinking about it, and then you also talked about a level of corruption, and I'm actually going to use that to segue in because there was a political hammer. And we all have our thoughts and our ideas on where the political hammer came from, you know, and that's also where the level of corruption came from. They actually want to identify that it was from us, right? And you just brought something to my attention that I had no idea that Sherry brought you in and allowed you to meet with everybody around the table and things like that. And that just speaks volumes of her and her level of leadership. And when she met with us, as commissioners, all that was separate, and there was nothing negative. And I recall my meeting, and there was a couple more. I think the sheriff was in my meeting when I met with him, and I was kind of excited about it, thinking that hey, this is the right thing to do based on all of the information that was brought forward, the people around the table, you know. But just looking back on it, you know, it seemed like. I thought it was a win-win at that time. And I even said that in the meeting. I said, hey, this sounds like a win-win. You know, it's been well known for years that the Musgraves were not interested in selling at all. You know, especially if the land would be used for a housing. What are your thoughts about the Musgraves, you know, not wanting to sell and then where we are right now?
Well, you have to look at anything government needs to acquire differently than you would look at anything else in the marketplace. Because government does not have the ability to necessarily shop it around the way a home developer was. This was important on multiple levels in that one, just the savings that it was going to be able to translate into on future landfill operations was like double the purchase price. So right off the bat, you have a value as the landowner of the landfill. That property has a value to you that it might not to other people. So government pays different than market rates on a lot of things when it absolutely needs it, particularly when someone doesn't want to buy it. I remember Betsy Panak, former county commissioner, pointing out on multiple occasions, look at what we do for right-of-ways and easements. We often pay way above market rate because we're going and saying, I know you don't want this, we need it. We don't want to do a taking. We don't want to do eminent domain because that's even more expensive. So it's really an accepted practice. And then you have to look at another thing, which is you're going to use this for services that you absolutely know you need. First of all, half of the purchase price is coming from utilities on fees. So it's not like it's being presented that, oh, the taxpayer is getting saddled with that. That's not being intellectually honest either, but the idea that you're going to need a sheriff station out there, you're going to need utilities, you're going to need fleece, you're going to need all this land want to buy it later at future land prices, and you want to try to acquire them piecemeal, which, who knows, at the rate we're developing East County, who knows what's going to be available. Even one of the things they showed me on the land use map was how many properties even exist undeveloped like this anywhere in that area. And there were none that big and that unique. So it was a very unique property for the county's needs. And when you can say, this is an investment, not only in the landfill operations, but all of these things that we absolutely are going to need, we're going to be able to get them today at today's prices. Now, what you couldn't have known at that point, and what makes this by chance a much better deal today, is that post-COVID, we saw a massive spike in land prices. So even if you had to overpay slightly to get a property that nobody wanted to sell, it looks way better today when you compare it to what land has been going for in Manatee County. And not knowing what's going to happen in the future, I don't see land prices drastically dropping in Manatee County anytime soon. So I think as you build out each of those facilities, you're going to be able to show, hey, if we had to buy land for this right now, if we didn't have it already secured, boy, it would be much more expensive. And let's also point out that even when we say all the development that's going on in East County, we also couldn't have known then that this board was going to eviscerate the future development area boundary and make it so that development in that portion of the county could move much faster than it already was. So that's another element of this that makes it a better deal today than it was in 2019, 2020.
One more thing, and I'm reflecting on that meeting, if it's okay with my colleagues. One of the things that really, you know, that pricked me when I was in the meeting was, you know, response time for the services as far as the locations. And in my mind, I thought about, you know, the Ellerton, the Parish, but also thought about the response time to the underserved communities in District 2, which was where I was the county commissioner at that time, which put me in a situation where, hey, this is a win-win for not just, you know, some people, but this is a win-win for all people within our county, which is why I was so high on it at that particular point in time. It still felt like that was the best thing for us to do. And it's just unfortunate how everything and the political hammer has taken place.
Yeah, and I want to jump in and say, let's not forget the criticism that Sherry took from these people criticizing her, saying, why did you have the utilities guy negotiate this multi-million dollar deal? You know why? Because Mr. Musgrave trusted him and respected him. And that was the perfect guy to make that land deal, and perhaps the only guy who could have done it.
Yeah, there was, you know, at one point, there was a meeting where I don't think Mr. Gore was the best person to try to get grilled by the commissioners. I don't think that's his strong suit. And I didn't think it was a great performance in terms of the public optics of it. And I think they were successful in sort of making it seem like, you weren't the guy for this job. Why didn't we have this happening? But as I had a long conversation with Mr. Gore, I walked away and understanding the patriarch of the Musgrave family and the position that they had taken, I definitely walked away saying, this is the only guy that could have negotiated that deal, because he was the only one he was going to talk to. And like you said, because they were neighbors on a landfill that he was managing very well for a long time and had built a rapport on respect for the area and the property, And let's not forget, it's very well known that Musgraves did not want to sell this for some cookie cutter housing property. They did not want that. So the idea that you had this guy who happened to work for the county, who understood the landfill and its history better than anybody, period, that had a rapport with the patriarch of the family and was able to make the assurances of what would happen to that property in the future, that was absolutely, in my opinion, the only way that deal was going to be successful.
Yeah, and I just want to say something. I'm sorry, Sherry. That was one of my most disappointing parts of a commissioner is the grilling that Mr. Gore got. And I remember calling him after it was over with and apologizing, you know, to him for that experience because
yeah, it was like he was on trial.
Right. His efforts, and this is normally not me, and I normally off, but his efforts to get us where we were. No one never said thank you, never know nor appreciated on the impact that it was going to make if we would have got where we were as far as the best for Manatee County. And I don't think he was ever given that due just. I think he was just stripped and made fun of and berated, in my opinion, you know, on his professionalism. But more importantly, like you say, he was the only one that could have gotten us that far to gotten us to the table, which was so disappointing within the leadership at that time for us to take that particular position. That's just me.
Well, let me add. So based on what you're all saying, too, is the people involved in that, Mr. Gore and John Osborne, our deputy county administrator, the land acquisition individual, they knew the property as well as the Musgraves knew the property. They knew there was a wetland in the property. They knew the required use for the potential use of the transfer station. They knew what property the county that we already owned, which was it's to the east of the boundary line. And so that is the other reason why the county was comfortable having certain people involved in this discussion, is because to really look at the land and what it could be used for, there was that knowledge of what was there and what had been there. And as you all know, you know, when you, even if the landfill were to be closed, there's a 50-year requirement for the county to continue to stay and monitor the landfill. So we have this obligation to that portion of the property anyway. I wanted to mention that, you know, there's some also touch in on the history of this and the Musgrave family. There were several articles that we recently sort of reached back and found. One was from February of 2005, and it was from the Sarasota Herald Tribune, and it was titled this. It said, it was titled, "A Farmer Stands His Ground." And it was where the fact that Roger Musgrave was at that time, this is 2005, uninterested in selling his property outright for any kind of use such as housing. And then also in that article, there's a quote from Dale Friedley, who was the director of land information services for the Manatee County Property Appraiser's Office. And he said this is important for now, from something that Mitch said earlier too. There's intense interest among developers for large undeveloped tract lands like the Musgrave property. And in that article, there was clearly other research that had been done about farms that sold down the street from that for $30,000 an acre. And remember, that was back in 2005. So when you look at the prices like Mitch is talking about, and when this property was purchased, that meant that even in 2005, the Musgrave property was probably well worth over $17 million. So those are some things that go back. And I know that you studied that, the entire use of that area. And when we look at it now, I think another thing we want to remind everybody is the location is the most ideal location for access to I-75. Now we have, in 3 years, nothing has happened there to that land. It sits there. However, 44th is starting to come over the interstate, which will intersect with Lena Road. And as I think Reggie mentioned, all of these things were about response times for citizens, but also saving the citizens cost in travel time for vehicles, wear and tear for vehicles from coming from all the way to 66th Street. I know some of those things were important. And Misty, I know you found another article as well.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of stuff written about it. You know, there was an article in the Business Observer from January 2019, and the title was Nothing Else Like It. The subheading said, "Former Musgrave Dairy Property in Manatee County is expected to sell for more than $70 million. So in that same article, there's a quote from a realtor formerly a partner with Grand Realty in Sarasota, who said, any developer who acquires this property will have the opportunity to build a real legacy project. So, you know, it seems like it's been a pretty open secret for a long time that this property is worth a lot of money. And it's been on the list of hot properties to acquire for a long time. So, Mitch, despite the Musgraves' wishes, do you think a major development is exactly what's going to come to that property?
I can't see any other reason why the county would get rid of it now, because the truth is they have the opportunity. They've been elected on the issue. They can give the Pottery Barn, you know, line and say, you know, they broke it, but we bought it, you know, whatever. And that, in fact, that was George Cruz, who's one of the current county commissioners. I interviewed him on my podcast shortly after he got elected. He did very loudly campaign on this issue. There is a lot of video and everything that he's put out on why this is so terrible. So he took that position, and I wanted to talk to him about it. And the answer he gave me was, well, I'm really glad that you like it, because it doesn't matter, we have it now. And I thought, well, I hope that becomes the party line, so to speak. Because you've already gotten, you know, your election, you've already fired the administrator, which had nothing to do with that property. We all know that. You've used this political hammer effectively. Why get rid of an asset? And you could even gloss it up a little bit by saying, well, it was a bad deal, but nobody could have known about the COVID inflation and land prices or whatever. So it wound up being a better deal than they could have ever known. You could still not give you your board credit for it, right? And nobody's really even gonna bring it back up. So to my thinking, the only reason why you would go ahead and surplus this land that you definitely could use for better usage, and that you can then take credit for at some stage, because I don't know if you've noticed this, I think you guys probably have, especially Reggie and Misty, this board is very good at taking credit for things that were decided and funded before they ever got there. Very good at it. So to my thinking, the only thing that could be coming here is some of those development interests that always wanted to get it from the Musgraves. And I think there was some spite in trying to clear that deal, so to speak. In making sure when they were trying to not get it through, when you guys were on the board, I think there was some, if you don't sell to us, we don't want to see you get your windfall. I think there was as much of that in it, because some of these people we're discussing are very vindictive and hold long-term grudges. So I think there was some of that involved. But now I do think they see it as, hey, we own the board. If we want to put houses on that land, squeeze a little bit more out of this community before we've ruined it, then let's go ahead and do it, because we're not going to be around once all the problems of not having these services out there come to fruition. We're going to be have moved on to another host to be a parasite on, and that'll be, you know, future generations' problems.
Well put. And I just wanted to say, and the county has a PR team now that makes sure that they're getting credit for everything that they did or didn't do, and they just spin it in that way. That's a whole nother show.
So I find myself, you know, listening and learning, you know, with some of those, you know, credit taking, and this is no shot at nobody within the sound of my voice or anything like that. Where we were, where I was when we was in District 2, we just needed things done. Right. We were underserved and things have been neglected for years. And my position was, it doesn't matter to me who say they did it. I just need it done. Right. This is a whole nother element right here, baby. Let's be honest with you. This is a whole nother element. You know, and I'm very thankful for the things that they are continuing to do. But the reality of it, when you talk about the Musgrave property, I found it kind of interesting to hear your comments, Mitch, and about Commissioner Cruz, which I have great relationships with all of them there, and I hold them in high respect. Some of my colleagues look at me a little crazy when I do that, but that's just the reality of my life. I try to, you know, keep everything, you know, level the surface. But some of them now are dealing with that level of corruption, and some of them now is the nail which the political hammer are hitting. And, you know, life is a little ironic how things go around. So I'll just leave it at that.
Let me also add that I did ask directly both Commissioner Cruz and Commissioner Satcher, both of whom were very negative on this deal. I did ask them, did you ask for the same sort of presentation that I got? Did you have all the decision makers in the room? I'm sure Administrator Corriere would have made them available to you. Did you ask, hey, change my mind? And the fact that they hadn't, I think that said everything about it. This wasn't really about understanding the issue. These were marching orders. As everyone knows, those big expensive PAC ads and campaign contributions, they don't come without an expectation that there are certain issues that are going to be taken more seriously than others. And it was very clear from who was supported by what interests, what the party line was on this property. And nobody strayed from it during the campaign. Nobody strayed from it after. I have hope that Commissioner Cruz, having sort of been burned by some of the, you know, forces maybe he was aligned with, I have hope that maybe he'll stand up on this issue. But I don't see there being enough votes on that board for, you know, justice to prevail, so to speak.
And I'll all just right. For Sherry wraps up that although they may not have asked for that transparency that you did, Mitch, it was offered to them because yeah. I didn't ask for it either. And I sat in countless meetings with all those people, maybe not at one time, but separately, where they told us all those things. So it was always offered by Sherry's administration.
This was not planned, but the fact that you asked that question or you mentioned that recently, I had to review some documents, and one of them was it was actually on the Bradenton Times. I was reviewing some documents that were attached to the story. And I noticed my agenda for the first briefing to the new commissioners and the topic areas. And this was this property was the number one issue. So I will say that, yes, that was offered. So why are we talking about this now? It's 3 years later. There's nothing on the property. In fact, the county hasn't even cut the grass on the property. It looks derelict. It looks like code enforcement should be sent out there to cite us for not taking care of this property. Well, that's because there's an ITN, an invitation to negotiate out on the street, due back in just a few days for a proposal to place something on this 161 acres. We don't know what that will be. It's one of the stories we're watching, and we certainly know, we hope Mitch will come back and talk to us more about that when we start to see responses for that, to see what there might be there, to see if there is a plan to bring residential properties there or multifamily as opposed to any other kind of uses or services. So thank you so much for being here today and being on the show. We have other things we'd like to talk to you about too, but for this particular topic, we just want to remind everybody that the Big Picture Manatee is here to educate the community about issues that impact you. This is definitely one that has a long-term impact, and we'd like you to continue to follow us on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, thanks everybody. You can find us on Facebook as well and on the web under the Big Picture Manatee. Please like our stuff, share it, and help people understand how they can be more engaged and better voters.
And again, thank you all for watching everything, and make sure you follow the Big Picture Manatee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch, for being here. We appreciate the work.
My pleasure.
Thank you.